Affirmative.
We are not caught up with temporal space butt bugs. We are solely in the realm of the captain's quadrant. Did I just steal your line, Jason?
We may not have gotten butt bugs, but by God, we got a time bug!
Yeah! Woo! Woo, bugs! All right, we are back to talk about Star Trek Discovery. Obviously, that's why you clicked this thumbnail and you wanted to hang out with these three handsome gentlemen, myself included. We are the Captain's Quadrant. We've got Jason Roy Gaston, VHS Jace, and myself, Joe Dove. And we are talking about probably one of the better Discovery episodes I've seen.
Sorry, I think Jace called it a
temporal time zone.
Okay, I was just gone for 4 days. We were just talking about Star Trek Picard.
Maybe we should have Season a warning. There maybe we need to have a warning. There are flashing images before this episode.
Yeah, be careful. Don't watch this too close to your face. There was a lot that happened in this episode, and I loved every minute of it. So stay tuned, hang out with us, because we're gonna see if does Jace miss his bingo, because we're playing the brand new game that everybody loves, Star Trek Bingo, and we'll have more on that later. But let us hop into the synopsis. Jason Gaston,
ready?
You please. Hope your eyes can read this.
As the race between Discovery and the bounty hunters Locke and Maul intensifies, an unexpected weapon forces Burnham and Raynor to work past their differences to save the rest of the crew.
Yes, yes, so true. So much fun. Let us hop into First Contact.
Thanks.
I think you should update that with a fart back. I don't know.
Yeah. Should become like,
no.
Should become battle squits. Just
battle squits. Oh, man. It's funny. Like I'll watch the show and then laugh at those parts still. It's like,
it's very much that Leo meme.
But, yeah, yeah. And it still works. It hits every time. It hits every time. All right, we're gonna start off with VHS Jace.
You know, what can I say? I kind of enjoyed this filler episode, because it is, for me, it felt like much of a filler episode, but in a good way, not a negative way. Look, I'm a sucker for time travel plots. I always have been. I can't get enough of them. And when you go back and revisit certain other episodes, I love Back to the Future too, and it's kind of where this is highly influenced from. I've got some nitpicks, as I always do, because I am the old man yelling at the clouds, according to Jason's graphic that he made me. So that is old man yells at Trek. Had a fun time with it. But it felt very – I was a little bit concerned because it is a filler episode. And it's like, do you really have the luxury to do a filler episode? But maybe I'm wrong on that. And it is a very important episode in the whole arc of the series. But, yeah, thumbs up. Didn't hate it this week.
All right, Jason Roy Gaston.
It's been my favorite episode of Discovery for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the season-long arcs, but I also enjoy episodes with a beginning, middle, and an end, where I can get invested in the story of that one episode, and whenever it's done, it's wrapped up, and I feel a sense of completion, and I felt that with this. Not only that, but I enjoy episodes, especially around the end run of a series, that kind of shows you how far some of the characters have come. And when Burnham meets herself and then beats herself, I enjoyed that scene because it was like, yeah, I remember when Burnham was like that and she wasn't very likable. And now she's grown into kind of this cool little den mother. And I enjoy that. This has been my favorite episode of Discovery for quite some time.
I agree. This was an excellent episode. I really enjoyed visiting some of the past crew members that are no longer with us, i.e. Robot Lady and Teddy.
Teddy.
Teddy. I was on season 2.
Yeah.
I played a butt bug. And my scene was cut.
And I enjoyed
it. He's not happy either.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I heard that. No, I just really appreciated the jumps around. I love time travel, and I love the nod to Enterprise having to deal with the time travel, temporal Cold War. So I thought that was a cool nod. So let us hop into further discussions of this episode in our segment known fondly as...
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Yes, pros and cons. And one comment that we got in the past was it should have been like cons. And I said, no. And now there's a Star Trek podcast called Pros and Cons, like con. So I'm glad you, Jason VHS.
We lead the way. Yeah. Everyone else can follow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I like we kept it to the proper vernacular. So Jason Roy Gaston, your pros and cons.
Oh, well, the pros is, as I said, this was a very tight story with a beginning, middle, and end. Lots of humor. I enjoyed the humor, especially from Stamets. The way he would clear engineering, I thought was just great, especially whenever they were in first season mode and he just walks in and goes, I'm very angry and surly, and everybody leaves. I laughed out loud at that. I enjoy Rainier. I think he's a great foil for Burnham. I honestly kind of wish he'd joined the show sooner because his by the book mentality versus Burnham's den mother and we're all friends here mentality. I like the way that they conflict with each other because sometimes she's right. Sometimes he's right. I enjoy that. Always great to see Arium again. How sad is it that Arium gets the best character growth since after she's dead?
I can see me doing
unremarkable that. Riot for me. She was unremarkable and she was awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Arium, I miss you every day. My name's not Arium, it's Alice. I've been calling you Arium all this time. I know, we just never corrected you.
Yeah. You were too punchy.
We let you call Robot Lady Arium as a joke. As for cons, quite honestly, I don't really have any. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. It's not groundbreaking. It's not like this is the greatest episode of Star Trek of all time. It was satisfying. It was well done. It showed us how far some of the characters have come, and I enjoyed it. So I don't really have cons. I'm sure Jace has got plenty.
Well, I reckon I'm surprised you didn't mention one thing, and that is the trope, which I know you didn't like in the first episode. They start with again 15 hours earlier.
Yeah.
Like I did instantly go, oh no.
Well, I don't mind that because they didn't flash back to it. It's just basically this is where we got it from. Let's continue the story. So we didn't have to watch it replayed again later.
All right. VHS Jace.
Okay, I have a real interesting one because it's a pro and a con at the same time.
Ooh.
And Jason already mentioned it. It's the Michael Burnham fight, which is great in the episode, but it's a con because I think it highlights one of the weaknesses early on in Discovery. She wasn't a protagonist that you really liked. And they kind of, in a way, making fun of that, almost fourth wall breaking, making fun of themselves, which I really like, because she wasn't a likable character early on.
Right.
But she was the lead that you were supposed to be rooting for. She was a hard person to root for early on.
Yeah.
Because she was so aggressive. But the fight itself was great. It was fun. It was, you know, it had all those kind of good things.
All another week was...
is the our friendly engineer who, if you're seeing a freaking biological or technological new thing in engineering, maybe instantly go, we have... You know, this metal bug in engineering. Can somebody come and help? But he watches it jump from wall to wall and then absorb. Kind of going, well, that's weird.
It's you know what? I didn't catch that. That is amazing. Good catch.
Yeah. I did think, yeah. That, yeah. Never mind.
Come on, dude. That is a good catch, dude. I actually missed it.
you know, a Connie's poor Doug Jones, not even getting a credit in this episode.
Yeah.
And that voice that you heard and the footage that you heard came from a previous episode.
Oh, wow. They didn't even use
it. He wasn't involved in this episode at all.
Wow.
At all, which was great. Some of the great little things that I love. I love Zora's playing Kay Sarah Sarah in the end. I just love like it's the first time that I liked Zora as an AI thing. It was the future. And I just love that whole scene. I love the like, hey Sarah, so whatever will it be, will be.
Yeah.
I just really kind of love that. I love and hate this at the same time. Everything happening in the ready room. Like a lot of it's happening in the ready room because I'm like, hey, let's pan out. Let's have a look at San Francisco back in the time. Let's get some external shots. But we only get it to see from their perspective, which is actually good storytelling. So, but selfishly, I wanted to see more of it. Don't know how to feel about what they're doing to Raina. If by the end of this episode, Raina has come down just 10 degrees and he's going to be a bit more affable, I'm okay. But if we see him turn into another beta boy Booker,
I'm not going to be happy.
Leave the character as is because you brought him down just a bit. You've taken off the sharp edge. And I like that moment between Samets. You know, like, let's show him how some old boys can get it done. I thought that was nice. I thought that was great little character development for him. It was kind of good. So there's not a lot to hate about this episode really at all. They're just nitpicky things. I mean, it's the best one of the season so far. And maybe Jason Dry could be one of the best episodes they've done, period.
Like, yeah, it's very good.
And I don't know if that's because maybe we're all suckers for time travel plots.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I am.
Yeah, same. I mean, one of my favorite movies is The Terminator.
Yep. You're bringing that up now because we just filmed another show.
Why am I so tiny? Why did I arrive in the past so tiny?
You said I had to be naked, but now I'm like tiny.
You said I had to be naked, then why do you have the camcorder? Put it down! Put it down!
Can I say one more positive? I really like the scene where she goes into the bridge and has to convince them all that she's not nuts, though. Yeah, angry Michael Burnham.
Right.
You would think the hair would have given it away.
Which Tilly didn't. Oh, I like the hair.
Tilly. Her name's not Tilly. It's Space Karen.
Space Karen.
She didn't deserve that this episode. You put that away. No,
she was not. She's not full blown Space Karen, but I will stand by. She's headed in that direction.
She's going to be the teacher.
But she's nice. She's nice, Tilly here.
Yeah.
And I love how they kind of. Oh, how do we make it look like old Tilly? Well, we'll just put her hair like it was.
Yeah. Hey, back to the change. Easy makeup day. For me, I love the opening, the getting the one up on the alien species because he was plot against them. So they went up there. Oh, you're going to try to swindle more money out of us. Okay. And the typical bad guy thing was, you know, we'll make out over his dead ass. So I thought that was.
Yeah,
that was really fun. So Elias really is having.
She just reminds me of that Sith apprentice from Ahsoka so much.
Yeah, she does.
Every time I see her, I just go, "Man, you just seem and you're kind of very similar character wise."
Yeah, that's a good catch too. Yeah, I really enjoyed that intro. I thought there was a lot of fun. The mystery box that we have now has another layer, and that is something that we had mentioned earlier on the theories part, and that's the Breen connection. They mention the Breen every episode in this, and the Breen have something to do with the technology from the progenitors. So it's going to be wild, and I think the Breen are going to be seemingly the big bad at the end of this whole journey. So.
Yeah, by the way, guys, if you're wondering why I'm not on the theory show, I have suggested a couple of theories to these guys. However, they've said something about perverted and offensive, and you're never coming on the show, so that's why I'm not on. I can't even tell you what the theories were.
No,
please don't.
No, you can't. We'll get removed, and we can't afford that. So we've come so far. The other big pro for me is a lot of what you guys mentioned was revisiting some of the earlier seasons, epic arcs. And I like the Burnham Fu. It's one level up from Kirk. Burnham Fu.
Burnham Fu. Yeah.
Yeah. She's really got it, you know, and she's kung fu'd herself. And the only thing that was missing was, you know,
I wouldn't have even been there.
I will say, when Michael says it's the Red Angel, her look and the way she says it is the kind of reaction I had to having to deal with that storyline again. Is like, Red Angel storyline.
You didn't like it. I liked it.
No, and I got real concerned early on when I thought, oh no, are we doing a whole Red Angel thing again? Are we going back to revisit it? Because
no.
I cannot stand that plot line.
Yeah, I was like, my con was they had an opportunity to bring back Lorca for 5 seconds or just a quick bit, and that would have been kind of interesting because he was in love with Michael Burnham, so that would have played an extra ante in this, especially because she's gotten a reconnection with books, and I feel like that kiss rekindled some of that fire in their relationship. She was like, "Ooh, I remember this. And I remember those abs," you know, like I feel like she got a lot out of that experience going back and making out with Beta Boy Book, as Jimmy just
changed. Yeah. Beta Boy Book. Hey, Tig Notaro. Oh my God.
Oh, why are they
making her a captain of her own starship? If we can't get Legacy, give that woman a show.
Yeah.
She steals every scene that she is in.
Yeah.
If she's a teacher at the academy, I'm all in.
That's it actually may make me a bit more interested in if she is a teacher, then I would, yeah.
I have a feeling Books is going to have be involved in somehow in Star Trek.
Yeah. Just cleaning up after everyone else. They'll make him clean the canteen.
Oh, no. Yeah. The janitor.
Make him wear an apron.
Oh, no. I don't think it would be that far. But yeah, Tig Notaro being on Starfleet Academy will put butts in the seats for sure.
Yes, most definitely.
Hey, I've got a bit of a tidbit for you. Apparently, the weapons dealer was Inari. And they were, where have they also appeared in Trek previous history? They've appeared in one other show.
Is that DS9 again?
Nope.
Oh.
Voyager, apparently.
Voyager.
He's from from Voyager, which was nice.
Oh, wow. A little nod to Voyager. That's a deep cut, though, because. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Because
I'm reading it off a website. I'm just trying to sound smart, but I don't really know.
Yeah, it's like, wow, he got really good with his trivia here. Yeah. But yeah, I just thought there was a lot of pros, very little cons. Not using Saru or Tara, I thought kind of missed opportunities there.
I get bad feelings about that plot line.
Oh, really?
Saru plot line, yeah. I don't know if there's enough meat on the bone to make it effective.
No, I think
I hope I'm wrong.
I think because that's good. I have a feeling their plot line is going to lead into the Breen connection. It's going to connect there.
Just Saru, I feel, is wasted in the political realm as a character that the audience loves.
But
I don't ever feel this will be long term for him. I think this will be, he'll be back on the ship in a couple of weeks.
Interesting. I don't know. I think that's going to be the reunion point. Yeah. No, I think it's going to be a reunion point where something's going to happen. I mean, this is just, we'll probably bring it on the speculation show, but they're going to have to bring the diplomats because they're dealing with the Breen, and the Breen keep attacking outposts and different planets that are kind of being reabsorbed into the Federation. And I think that they're going to have a big meetup point where, okay, the diplomats have to go on a mission and negotiate with the Breen, and then Saru and everybody's going to join them.
Right now I'm hearing trade routes from episode one plot line. Like you're talking about a plot line that isn't grabbing me, though. Even your theory there doesn't sound exciting to me. And I think it's to Saru, who is standout. But like, hey, can I give you one more trivia? I asked this question. Reno and Rayna, what one thing do they have in common?
Reno and
they both share a love for Vespa martinis, a cocktail invented for James Bond.
Oh, look at that.
They both love themselves a martini.
Maybe they're both spies.
Put them both on a show together.
Yeah, that would be a fun show. I'd watch that. Star Trek Martini.
Yeah. Getting drunk. Getting
up early. Yeah. Star Trek, surly and sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really do worry about his character. I don't want him to end up like Shaw, where he gets waxed off in the middle of the season, or right at the end of.
I will stand by saying that, as much as I hate that death, it was so necessary for that season.
Yes, it was.
It was, and it added so much power in the moment. You know, I don't want this guy to die.
I don't want it to be repeated. It's like, you guys did that once. Don't do it again.
He's so sexy. He can't die.
And I think that the other big standout was the ship. Though we didn't get very many outside shots of it, we got to live inside the ship, and it was its own character, and it didn't blow up this week. So I thought that was another interesting point.
It's always nice.
Because he didn't get his bingo. I could see it.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
But it was really great to go into engineering and to go into the corridors and have our Burnham food.
Does it feel like, what was that I used to call the episodes where they were running out of money and they shoot it all on the ship? It's got a bit of vibe of that, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like this is internally in the ship, really, you know?
And you know, it's fortunate that they never updated the bridge set to 32nd century technology, because, you know, you can just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go right. It doesn't matter what time we're in, the ship...
Just change the uniforms and we're fine.
You do get a little sense of what the future's like because of her Apple Watch. Remember in the bridge, she does her Apple Watch?
Oh, yeah.
Projects out. She goes, oh, I like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she gets to see a little glimpse of the future.
Because I love they spend half the episode so focused on not screwing with the timeline.
Right.
That by the time Michael Boynton walks in the elevator, it's like, screw it. It's done. It's done.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Burnham spends a good 5-6 minutes trying to convince the old bridge crew that she's from the future. And then she goes, they all go,
yeah.
And it's like, you should have led with that.
Yeah, you should have led
with that.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a great point. I guess it's time for your bingo segment.
Yeah, might as well. Let's get into it. I'll do my bingo segment now. This week, I was there intently thinking, I'm going to get a couple this week. And man, did I come close. So, but I didn't get any extra beliefs. I'm still stuck on two. And the ones that I did get close was, I thought Michael Burnham was going to cry. I really did. And I'm like, cry. Will you just cry, please? It never happened. The other thing I thought I may get, and I was so close this week, is that the bridge, in any moment of collision attack, will shoot fire out of multiple console panels. Fire did shoot out of a console panel, but technically it was in the ready room, so... I'm getting there. I still feel very confident, guys, that, in fact, by the end, I'll be able to proudly say,
ooh, that's a bingo.
Yeah, and then he'll win one of our illustrious Captain's Quadrant hats. This is his actual hat that he's getting when he comes to America. And I will hand it to him, and we'll film that and put it on our shorts.
And so, now I'm concerned it's injected with that same stuff that poor guy in the beginning.
No, it's not.
It was just touch, wasn't it? He touched that thing. That's what poisoned him, and
yeah,
and eating him away.
That was wild. I thought that was a really cool poison. Yeah.
Oh, you know what else was really cool is when Samet's got infected. When you go back to see that infection again, I forgot how cool that was.
Yeah.
I do like Star Trek, modern Star Trek. When you get infected with something, it isn't a rash.
No, it's like,
always like, I'm going to die in 30 minutes.
Yeah, the clock's ticking quicker.
That's the worst.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess it's time to fire at will.
Fire at will.
We're going to do something a little bit different on this one. I'm going to ask you guys about your personal lives. Because I care. What's going on, Jace? We'll start with you, VHS Jace. What's going on in your personal life? You didn't expect that, did you?
Oh, not really. You know, the emus continue to circle the house.
Oh, no.
Rock bears season, so they're, you know, little children are being attacked daily.
Oh, no.
Just being me. Looking forward to the great trip coming at the end of May. That's what I'm really, that's all my focus in my personal life.
Oh, man, that's going to be so exciting. Trek Long Island 2. May 31st through June 2nd, all three of us will be in person. We're going to be hanging out with all the greats in Star Trek. We're going to hang out with Ursula. We're going to hang out with the Admiral Chase Masterson, of course, Armin Shimerman and Neelix himself. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to hang out with our fellow podcasters, stunt folks, authors. We're going to get their names right this time. And the singers, Bonnie and the Klingon Pop Warrior. It's going to be a blast.
And most importantly, Joe, we're going to be hanging out with each other.
Yeah, for the first time ever.
Right. Yeah, not over video.
No.
No, in person.
In person, live and in color. It's going to be a blast. All right, Jason Roy Gaston, what's going on with you? I heard you're trying to be Teacher of the Year or something.
Yes, America's favorite teacher, as a matter of fact. So go visit my Facebook page and go to the link and vote for me because I want to win because I have a big ego.
As I stated, I really are offended by the whole concept because he should have just been given the bloody trophy.
Yeah, I agree. But anyway, yeah, I've got that going on right now. And if you happen to live in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, please come see me at the Funky Town Focus Celebration. I will be live on stage on May 11th. And if you want some more information about that, please visit funkytownfocus.com.
What is the event? What is the event about?
It is a celebration of the arts, and they asked me to do a get together, you know, just talking about content creation and things like that. And yeah, so it's going
to
be a lot.
Had to be completely offensive with bad Australian accents.
Exactly.
One thing you could bring up.
It got confirmed the other day that I'm going to be taking a bunch of people to Egypt with me. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So if you want more information about that, go visit my website, jasonroygaston.com.
Somehow I think it's a good opportunity to reenact the Mummy movie. Alex Curtin.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser will not be there. I do apologize.
Odette Fair. What about Odette movie there?
I could invite. Yeah, Space Daddy. Come on down, Dadmiral. Let's go.
Let's go back to Egypt. Did they actually film that in Egypt, or was it all on set, the Mummy?
I would be surprised if they actually filmed that in Egypt. Set.
Yeah, no location with that. That's a good old backlot movie.
Oh, that would have been fun if they went to Egypt. Yeah. For me, I will be in Long Island talking with...
No way. You're currently in two places at once.
I am bending space and time. I got one of those little bugs in me. I am currently in Long Island right now as you're watching this. I am hanging out with Melanie Smith. We're talking about The Sacrifice of Angels, one of the best Deep Space Nine episodes in season 6. Mm. And we're talking about her book, and it's just so much fun happening at this point in time. We are having a blast.
Sounds like it's going well too. It's
going well. We have a sell-through of 70 tickets already for 100 maximum. So we're very excited about the prospects of that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And that's a big thanks to our good friend Stephanie, the person behind the scenes at Trek Long Island. So big thanks to them and for giving us the opportunity to hang out with Melanie, who turns out is my neighbor. No, I'm kidding, but she's close by, apparently. So there is a lot of fun going on there. Now, Star Trek, fire at will. We've got a lot of stuff that had popped off for Star Trek that you guys might not know about, including Michael McMahon's future. Now, Mike McMahon is the guy behind Lower Decks. As you know, Lower Decks is no longer going to be a series. So his new project. I know. There's a petition that you can sign to save Star Trek.
I signed it, yes.
You signed it? Yeah, I think I did too.
Hashtag save Lower Decks.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, there it is. Okay. And then follow us on the socials, Captain's Quadrant. Yeah, that'd be great.
And I've got nothing to say.
But his new project, I think you might like, because we are all the same generation. Did you guys have Sega Genesis?
Yes, of course.
He
has both. I was spoiled.
I was spoiled too. I have both. Yeah. He's going to be helming the Golden Axe series.
All right. So we're going to see a guy with an axe. We're going to see a guy with a sword, a chick with a sword, and they're going to jump on little strange lizards occasionally.
Yeah.
With their tails around.
Yeah.
Great game. Great game.
It was such a good game. So he's going to make that a cartoon, and that's going to be probably 2025 project. Yeah. So.
Look, it's still to me, it is baffling the decision they made, because you think about it, it wasn't a super expensive show to make. No way it was. They only did 10 episodes at a time. It was current. It was fourth wall breaking. It was joyous.
Yeah.
And some of the new Trek hasn't always been joyous, so it was nice to have that as well. It's just baffling to me why they did it. And I just don't understand the decision-making, unless there's a grand plan that they have that we're all going to go, whoop, my bad, I was wrong. It represents the fact that they are not listening to their fan base and they're taking the series in the direction that we don't want.
Right. It's going to be an interesting time in Trek, because also the removal of that show makes it a hole in the timeline for Star Trek, because yes, we're going to get Prodigy season 2 at some point, maybe this year, but then nothing else.
I'm going to have to learn French just so I can watch it.
Yeah, it's available in France by mistake.
You're so right though, Joe. We what do they do with that space? Because that is the fertile ground. They're unwilling to continue in.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it now, they have purposely excised anything in that time. There's no more to Picard. They're not giving us Legacy. They got rid of Lower Decks and say goodbye to Prodigy. So for some reason, this current executive team don't want to deal with a post-Picard universe.
Right. It sounds like they might be going into a movie verse, because we're going to get Section 31 at the end of the year,
which is just a streaming movie. It's not.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't want to be that guy, but it isn't a film. It's a streaming movie.
Right. It's like a Netflix movie.
Yeah, but it's not. Why isn't it getting a theatrical release? What's wrong with it? If they've spent the money making it, throw another $10 million down the pipeline, market it, make some money at the box office, and test how much fans really want to see Star Trek at the cinema.
Yeah.
There's your test case.
Yeah. Instead of doing Star Trek 4, which I don't know.
A prequel. We had the Prime. We've got the Prime. We've got the Kelvin. This film feels like the potential is to shatter all that and just make something ultra confusing.
Yeah. And then, of course, season 3 of Strange New Worlds is going to take the Discovery slot next year. So we're going to get it super early, 2025. And I believe they wrapped it up. They're in post-production now.
Yeah, season 3. Which actually begs another really interesting question. We know now Strange New Worlds is only going to get 5, right?
Right.
Sounds like that's their mantra.
Mm-hmm.
So some big things are going to start happening soon, right?
Yeah.
We're going to get some big characters coming in. Some big events need to be happening sooner or later.
Yeah, we're going to get Cybok, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
I hope so. I hope they don't just leave that plot thread dangling.
Yeah.
That'd be really lame.
Because I've never been excited to see Cybok before. And here we are.
So I got to shout out Spotted Giraffe for this one, because she thought the best casting for Cybok is Matt Berry.
Oh,
yeah. I'm in for that 100%.
I agree with her on that one. That's pretty dope. I think that would be great. Says to Sarek, "Father," that would be amazing. But I also thought that having Zachary Quinto as Cybok would be very interesting.
That would be fun.
I think they don't trust the audience enough to do that.
Really?
I think the executives go, well, but you'll confuse people.
Nah.
And I also think that's a big problem these days with a lot of Hollywood executives, is they think the audience is stupid, but we're not. Like, you guys are just executives. You're the stupid ones, all right? That's all you can do in life. Yeah. We are actually, a bit more learned.
Yeah.
You know, and we could absolutely deal with that. We would love that. We would embrace that.
I think it would be amazing if you played it. They're like, oh, we're in another reality. Because now the question all over the internet is, is the Strange New Worlds in the Prime or Kelvin universe?
Prime.
I think I asked that question recently.
Yeah.
Somebody. And yeah, because I'm starting to doubt where it belongs.
Right.
Because visually, you know, like as Frake said recently, his mantra when he was told how to direct these new Star Trek is to shoot to thrill. Because they all look like they belong part of the Kelvin universe cinematically.
Right.
They're not Kelvin, because what happened to Pike in the Kelvin universe? He had one voyage on the Enterprise and then he got whacked. Well, he didn't get whacked, but he got he got admiraled.
Yeah. So, absolutely not. It's absolutely not. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other thing is Pike was a lot older in the Kelvin universe too, so.
Yeah, well, yes. But that would have, you could explain that away because of time, you know, it doesn't have to be right then. But yeah, it's definitely not part of the Kelvin timeline. I just don't know. You guys can't answer me this. I like the films. I think Star Trek Beyond is one of the great Star Trek films. I'll just say it because I really
enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I think Star Trek 09 is one of the best ones.
Yeah. I would say Star Trek 09 is a great movie.
The less we talk about Into Darkness, the better.
Yeah.
But however, do you think what I'm curious to wonder why they think continuing the Kelvin timeline is super important on film? That's what I don't understand. Why do they think they need to continue? Because I think they wrapped it up in 3.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think that they believe that there's a fan base specifically just for that universe?
Maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, time has gone. 2016 was Star Trek Beyond.
Wow, it was that long ago?
8 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the people that the fan base that they would have accumulated then would have dissipated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or jump to Paramount Plus.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because remember, those Star Trek films are made for everybody. For the guy that's gone, let's go to the movies and, there's a new Star Trek movie playing. We'll go and see that.
Yeah. It's more like action.
Fans will follow no matter what. I mean, as much as I bitch and moan about what they're doing with Trek, I mean, I'm not going to fool anybody and say I'm not going to watch it. Of course, I'm going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know. You've got me hook, line, and sinker anyway, but how do you make it for the next generation? You know, what is the next generation going to think of? Because every time you've tried to do it, you don't let it breathe long enough.
Right. We don't.
So they tried to do it with Prodigy. They tried to do it with Lower Decks, and then they cut their own throat by getting rid of it.
Yeah.
That's what I think Star Trek Next, Starfleet Academy is absolutely targeted at tween teenage audience.
Or Gen X? Is that the...
Gen X is us.
Yeah. Oh, we're Gen X?
We're Gen X, dude. No, you're talking about Zoomers and
Millennial.
Gen Alpha now, I think it is. Who, in any way, you know what I mean?
Hey, kitty.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating because you know what? We are going to be fans. It's not like we're aging out of Star Trek, right?
No, I'm going to go into
that. We're going to be fans till we've left this mortal coil, you know? Right. So, you know, you've got a good 40, 50 years of all of us still loving Star Trek. So why are we being abandoned as an audience?
Right.
Why is our generation being meh? You know what I mean? And then one time they allow it, it becomes the biggest season and the best thing they ever did in New Trek, and that's Picard season 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just hard. You know what I mean? Like, Prodigy was so great. I doubted Prodigy in the beginning, and I think it was you guys who made
it. Yeah, we loved it.
And holy crap, wasn't it amazing? It was one of those special shows where, although it had the Nickelodeon above, that was targeted for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was not targeted.
That was supposed to bring the young kids into the whole lore.
Mm.
But then they did it so well. It was written so well and portrayed excellently to the point where we old cats were like, oh, I like this a lot. I want more of this.
But aren't you scared? Because we know there's probably going to be hanging threads now after Prodigy season 2.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean hanging threads?
Meaning they would have wrote that show thinking they're probably going to get a season 3. So not all storylines will be tied up.
Well, I think that since it's purely Netflix, it's not just a matter of distribution. I think they have the opportunity.
Well, it is really distribution. I mean, the only thing Prodigy had to do was in post-production, meaning CGI had to be completed. All the scripts were written.
Oh.
Everything was in production. And really, Netflix's only, it's really a distribution deal, isn't it? I think they're maybe paying for the tie up of the rest of the animation. Maybe they're going to invest $10 million, but essentially it is a Paramount show and Netflix doesn't really have any influence over the story.
Oh, maybe they hire them and finish it out.
Jeez, I'm standing. Why am I not wearing a sign that says the end is nigh with a fucking bell in my hand? It's
nigh.
Because I feel like I'm like that. But yeah, I love this franchise very, very much. And I want it to be continue to stay in the high levels that I've experienced in the past.
I'm hoping that we get a third season. I hope it continues for a bit. I mean, if the people
that'd be interesting.
If the people that fought to get it on Netflix band together to continue and watch it and get engaged, I don't see Netflix not putting money up for a third season.
However, there was some news today. Our good friend David Jones actually sent me a link today that apparently Sony are making a bid to buy Paramount.
Oh, no way.
Now, if you have a corporate takeover, that changes the game creatively.
Yeah, it does.
New people in, they may go, what the hell are you? Kurtzman, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, that could change. Jerry,
come back. Let's fix this. Let's make it, you know.
Oh, we could get Spider-Man on the USS Enterprise.
Wouldn't you be the weirdest thing? The most absurd crossovers.
Both of you were like, nah, 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 nah.
Hey, no, reboot Star Trek with an all-female cast.
Did you hear that Tarantino has walked away from his 10th film? He was almost ready to start filming The Critic, a year and a half in development, and he's just announced, nah, I'm not doing it now. I'm doing something else.
Is it Star Trek 4?
Please. Please. Like, you know.
Are you gung-ho for Star Trek Tarantino?
I would love to see it.
Because
I want to see it.
His dialogue is just incredible. The way he treats characters is incredible. And that episode of Black Mirror, USS Callister, highlighted for me the potential to go dark in the Star Trek and make an R-rated film. Hell, if the mouse is down with making R-rated films, why can't Trek do it, you know?
It's true. That's very true. That would be amazing. My goodness.
You could be
so I don't think this is done and done. I think there's going to be a lot of flux happening in the world of
Star Trek. Because I heard there was somebody else Warner Brothers, I think, wanted to buy Paramount.
Skydance.
There you go. Yeah. That's the one.
That's the one I balked at because it's JJ and Alex Kurtzman.
Oh, yeah. So let's hope Sony comes in with the big bucks. Get some.
Well, I know I'm being mean to Alex Kurtzman and he deserves every bit of it. However, I just think we need a new, fresh creative direction. He's now held on to this franchise for close to a decade.
Wow.
Look at Rick, you know, and all that crew. By the time he got to Enterprise, he's burnt out. He's creatively done. Yeah. You needed to bring in.
Yeah.
And he would admit that. Rick Berman said that in interviews. I was kind of just done. I was toast.
I'm real tired, Ma.
Real tired.
Sunsetting, big guy. You know?
Yeah, sunset.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
That was a space bar hit. Sorry. It wouldn't be a Captain's Quadrant episode unless there was a temporal screw up.
Yeah. Imagine how it's going to be live. Be sure to get your tickets to Trek Long Island because it's going to be a lot of fun. All the buttons that we're going to be pushing. I think that's going to wrap it up unless you gentlemen want to mention anything else regarding the Star Trek universe. No?
Just give us more now. Now.
Now.
More. Now. Make our choices.
Legacy.
Yeah, give us legacy.
Yeah, legacy.
Save
right.
Lord, I wonder if they will sign
deals. Do you reckon they sign, you know, pre-app deals, like holding deals?
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's just in case they hadn't made their mind up whether they were going to do it or not.
There's also a theory being floated around that Jerry Ryan and Michelle Hurd are being punished for their involvement in the strike.
I heard that theory, too. Oh, you know, David told me, my good buddy David Jones told me that theory.
Probably accurate, you know, and that's even sadder that we are in this modern day and age, we'd be that petty.
Oh, people be petty. People be super petty. Yeah. I'm petty.
Now, no offense to Michelle Hurd, right? And I like her, but really, if you're going to get rid of 7 of 9 out of that, like, you want to be careful. The fans get a hold of that she's been blackballed because she's a decades-long character. And no offense to Michelle, who I thought was fantastic in season 3. She's not.
Right. But she's well beloved in the Trekverse.
Yes.
Yeah. Not as much as 7 and 9, mind you. But
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, the line, like when I was meeting both the lines for 7 and 9 was ridiculous. It was just like,
of course it is.
Too long.
Yeah, of course.
It was, I think the longest line was 7, then LeVar Burton, and then Jonathan Frakes. Like,
yeah. Frakes and Burton, eh?
Yeah. For hey, kid. All right, keep going. There's just such
can a thing. I recommend there's a great podcast out there by Michael Rosenbaum called Inside of You. And he's had Brett Spiner on there recent times, and he's had Jonathan Frakes. The Jonathan Frakes interview is amazingly informative and wonderfully done, and he's such an auteur, you know, yeah. Frakes. So recommend Michael Rosenbaum, Inside of You. Go check it out after you've watched us and liked and subscribed and shared.
Oh, yeah, else. Like and subscribe. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, I know this is the end of the episode, but please give us a rating. We'd really appreciate 5 stars.
A good rating.
Yeah. 5 stars, please.
Clarify that, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, all the people that hate us have already stopped watching. It's just the ones who really like us are still listening to this garbage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So 5 stars. There's 45 of you that I know for sure that are coming in every week to listen to the Captain Squadron on audio podcast. So if we can get 12 of you to just give us a 5-star, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. And that is going to wrap it up this week. Be sure to join us next week. There's going to be a lot of fun. So I will be here next week as well. And we don't have to do any space.
Well, temporal problems not going away for a little while.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be good.
I'm sure it's going to raise its head again, your temporal problem.
Yeah, my temporal problem will come back, but not this week. So until next time, live long and prosper, peace and long life. And we will see you next time.
Affirmative.
Joey, what a great show live. Wow.
Yeah. So many comments this week.
So many people at that show. It's amazing.